Again, we had a good time with Brother Sellers, and he preached some good sermons. If you weren't able to be here, they are on the sermon archives on our church website and then also on our Facebook page. I don't know how to get to any of that, but I've been told they're there, so okay. But anyway, they would be well worth listening to if you weren't able to be here. And again, that's the title of my sermon this morning. If you're taking notes, it's entitled Real Revival. Obviously, just like a lot of things, people throw words around out there today, and they don't have a lot of substance. They just throw those words out there. And again, I think revival is one of those things. I think you can have real revival in 20 minutes as opposed to 20 days. Some people think, you know, stuff has to last for a long, long time before it's real. And I'm going to show you this morning that real revival can happen just with you and God in just a few minutes. It doesn't take, you know, working things up. And I'm not against any of that. I'm not against music, and I'm not against preaching, and I'm not against praying and revival, things like that. But, you know, I think the devil kind of blinds us that, you know, we won't ever experience it. You know, I don't have 20 days to give, or I don't have 10 days to give, or I don't have this. You know, you can have it. You don't have to have that, and we're going to see that in just a minute. But he preached, the first night he preached a sermon called On Fire or Fizzled Out. And again, of course, you can stay on fire. Within the next month or so, some of you might have some fires in your house. We have the little push button thing right now. All right? It doesn't smell good. You can't hear it, but it does get some warmth, all right? I like real fires. But real fires, you have to keep putting logs on there. And, some of us, used to get us some kindling and roll us up a piece of newspaper and do it old school. Some of us now have some gas that we can turn on and it just burns the fire. Or you go to Walmart and buy a starter log these days. Put that starter log in there, light it, and then just keep adding, and you have a fire. It works. So same thing with revival. You can have it. It might take a little bit of work to keep it going. You might have to put another log on. You have to keep care of it. So and fizzled out. Obviously, he used the Alka-Seltzer, plop plop, fizz fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Oh, how bad it tastes. I remember the first time I drank one as a teenager, I was holding my nose the whole time because that stuff's nasty. But anyway, On Fire or Fizzled Out was the first night. Then the second night he preached on, or I guess that was Sunday morning. Sunday night was Four Miserable Christians. And again, he was talking about the most miserable person he could think of was somebody that wasn't experiencing revival, a child of God that was maybe backslidden or not right with him. That's even harder to deal with sometimes than even being saved. So Four Miserable Children or Christians. The third night was, Monday night was, You Can Even When You Can't. And so that was an awesome sermon. And then the last one are You Are Witnesses. And the Bible does say that you are witnesses. Well, I'm not a witness. No, you are. And his point was you're either a good one or a bad one. And so then Wednesday night, all that was good to me. But Wednesday night was really, really special to me because we gave testimonies. And I think all four of those sermons were referenced. And then stuff that happened here was referenced. I guess it was Tuesday night from that side all the way to that side. There was people in the altar. And people testified of that Wednesday night. We've never seen that. Never seen that many people in the altar. And that's awesome to me. That means that's happening. Because if you're up here talking to him, you're doing that. And I think that's what real revival is. And so let's read this. I'll give you my little illustration, and I'll preach this sermon. In Acts 5, or Acts 8, verse 5, it says here, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria. And so you could put, and Brother Sellers came up. All right. Well, I'm not adding or changing the word of God. I'm just giving an example here. He didn't come down. He was already down. He had to come up here. So that's what this verse is saying. It says, and Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And so Brother Sellers came up, and what did he do? He preached Christ unto us. And it was awesome. And so that's what was taking place here, just like it was taking place back then. In verse 6, it says, and the people with one accord gave heed to those things that Philip spake. And so I saw Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, all of us sitting here, we weren't going, stinking redneck from Georgia,
He ain't don't have anything to say to me. You know, goodness gracious, what in the world is Pastor having him come up here for? There was none of that.
It was sitting there, eyes open, bring it, give it, preach it. And I was watching that. And that's basically what it's saying here, that Philip came down, he did his part. He studied, he came, he prayed, he preached. Then we did our part. We were here, sitting on the edge of our seat, saying, bring it, Brother Sellers. Preach to me. I need it. I want it. So again, real revival, there has to be a preacher, a man of God, and then there has to be a person, a people that want it. And we see that that's what was going on. They were in one accord. They weren't bickering and fighting and issues and things like that. They came, and I believe that's why God showed up. And it says here, in those things that Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And so I just gave you an example of verse 6 as well. That Brother Sellers came up and preached. We listened, but then we saw on Wednesday night the miracles. When somebody experiences revival, that is a miracle. Why? Because the devil's going to do everything he possibly can to keep it from happening. So if we squish the devil or resist the devil and we actually allow revival to take place, that's a miracle because the devil is powerful. And so, again, we're seeing what took place here last week. In verse 7 it says here, for the unclean spirits crying with a loud voice, come out of many that were possessed with them. And many were taken, or many taken with palsy, and they were lame and they were healed. And so again, just like leprosy, all these sicknesses is a type of sin. When we came Tuesday night, got rid of that kind of stuff, people were healed. People were getting right with God. People were having revival. And then verse 8 says here, and there was great joy in the city. And so, again, I can still feel it today. I feel there's joy in our church, and that is what real revival is all about. And so, again, I'm going to give you my illustration, and then I'll give you the outline here. We'll let this side this morning represent real revival. And we'll let this side, sorry, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with which side you're sitting on this morning. We'll let this side of the platform represent backsliddenness or misery. Or you know, lack of revival. Okay? And so, again, I think we can experience it over here, real revival. But let's say we're facing this way. We're right with God. We're reading our Bible. We're praying. We're growing. But just like that, we can be heading in the wrong direction. Now, we may not be as backslidden as that person over there, but we're not in revival anymore. We're backslidden. I've heard it like this. If you were closer to God yesterday than you are today, you're backslidden. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm out murdering people or out doing drugs or I'm out doing wicked stuff. But if I've read my Bible less today than I did yesterday or prayed less today than I did yesterday or I feel God's presence less than I did, I'm backslidden. So this is what we need to do. Turn back around. Okay? That's what we have to do. Don't wait till you get way over there in misery and have to fight your way all the way back up here. No, as soon as you feel a little bit further away from God, get right back. You're back, you know, backslidden, get right back. And that way you can stay in the state of revival. It's not, again, add another day to it, or add three more songs to it, or add another sermon to it. That's not how you keep revival. All right, when you take one little step or a half step, you're back in revival state. Now, here's another lie of the devil. Some of us may have been over here before revival, Brother Sellers came. And we weren't going, we weren't growing, we weren't right with God. We were just backslidden as the day is long. So we came down and we prayed or we heard a sermon and got encouraged and we were like, okay, I want to get right with God. And so we like, whew. But then we looked, and this is what the devil will do. We looked over there and said, man, real revival is just so far away. I'll never make it. And we turn right back around. That's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to stop having real revival and come all the way back over here, but flip it. But then when you get right here and say, you know, I'd like to read my Bible like I should, or I'd like to be a soul winner, or I'd like to serve God in some way, but that's just too far. No, one step at a time. Don't let the devil lie to you. If you're backslidden, you're not right with God, and you repent, say, I'm sorry, God, I'm a little lukewarm, or I'm actually even cold. You take one step towards God, that's real revival. Now, obviously, you can grow, and you can start doing more, but you're in a real revival sense. Don't let the devil lie to you. You're not this way anymore. He's like, I'm sorry that I was involved in that, or I'm sorry I thought that way, or I'm sorry I behaved that way. I want to be right with God. That's real revival. And just start walking. And so that's what this whole sermon's about today, is real revival. So we're going to have an introduction here. of some other re-words. All right, revival, R-E-vival. So first thing we're going to look at is what real revival is reflection. Reflection. Those of you that were here Sunday morning and Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, you wanted to hear what he said, and what you did is you reflected on what he said. In other words, you didn't sleep, or you didn't say this again. And his favorite two words, let's see, what were they? Heifer. And what was the other one? Underwear. That's right. I don't think I've preached unless I've said underwear or heifer. That was his two words. And so some of you are like, oh, he said heifer or he said underwear. And maybe the devil helped you turn it off. But you have to, you know, again, you don't have to listen to that. He was just being funny, all right? But what he preached was the Word of God. And we ought to let that be reflected unto us. We see, again, some words that we might, a bike reflector. I don't know if they still make those or not, but I think they do. I haven't ridden a bike in so long, but it was to help you to be able to ride at night and not get ran over. Why? Because when the light shined on it, it reflected. Here is a person riding a bicycle. They're trying to get into shape. Or they're trying to stay into shape. Or they're just enjoying the nice outdoors. But, you know, I would enjoy it driving in my truck. But anyway, a bike reflector, what it does, it when the light hits it, it reflects light. And so that's what revival is. We hear the Word of God preached. We allow it to shine into our hearts. And all of a sudden it's reflected to the world. That's real revival. What's different about you? There's something about you that kind of is like maybe glowing a little bit. What's going on? That's what real revival do. It will cause us to be a reflection. Also, some of you may have done this morning. You looked into a mirror and you saw your reflection. And I did that this morning. Scared me. All right. Why? Bedhead. All right. Woof. I don't have a lot of hair, but when I go to sleep, it goes crazy. All right. So yes, I looked in the reflection of the mirror and I fixed it. That's what real reflection is. And so if he was preaching, he was shining light on us. But then he also may have used some verses or the Holy Spirit. Maybe he even preached us an individual sermon, not even in his sermon. Holy Spirit's good at that. And he was shining light on us. And you need to fix that. You need to take care of that. And again, that wouldn't have it took place, or this altar wouldn't have been full like it was. So a mirror lets some sun or some light shine on us. It will shine, and what that shining will cause heat. As a little boy, I had a magnifying glass, or I had a mirror. You take it outside, you let the sun shine on it, and you aim it towards a leaf. And don't try this at home. Don't try this without parental supervision, all right, because it will cause a fire, brings heat. And so when the Word of God's being preached and it's shining on us, it will cause us to be that hot, I can even when I can't, or that miserable Christian, or allow us to be a witness and not fizzle out. So why? Because it shines on us and it produces heat. So Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. Real revival will cause reflection. It will cause it to shine. And they shall be the right. I'm sorry. Matthew 13:43 says this. Thou shalt the righteous shine. Or then shall the righteous shine. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And the last one. Philippians 2:15. Ye shine as lights in this world. And so we're supposed to shine. Reflection will cause us to shine. Number two. Reflection will cause heat. Revelations 3:15-16 says this, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. And I believe he read this verse. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. So real reflection will cause us to be hot, not cold. A preacher and a Christian could say this, or it could be said about them, or we ought to say this, as a preacher or in Christians. God, set me on fire and let people come watch me burn. That's a sermon in a nutshell. Again, people, they come to church, they want to hear God. They want to hear from God's Word. And so my job is to let you hear from God and let you hear from His Word. And so set me on fire and let me burn, y'all watch. And a Christian ought to say that. God, when I go out soul winning, or when I'm trying to be an example at work or at a family reunion or wherever, set me on fire and watch and let people watch me burn. So, reflection will cause us to shine. It will cause heat. Also, reflection, and this is the one I was just giving an example of, Reflection will cause a change. It causes a change. You look in the mirror, and that mirror is telling you something that you need to change. You need to fix that bedhead. You need to fix whatever, you know, that stuff on your teeth that came upon while you were sleeping. Fix that. So when you hear preaching, that's what it does. So 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we are all with open face beholding as a glass or in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when we hear preaching, it's just like looking in the mirror. You need to fix this. You need to change this. You could do better in this area. We hear preaching, that's what it'll do. It'll cause us to shine. It will cause us to have heat. It will cause us to change. James 1:23 says this, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. So that's kind of somebody looking in the mirror, have bedhead, have green skanky teeth, and said, and go on their way. In other words, they heard it, they saw it, but they didn't do anything about it. So when we hear preaching says, hey, you need to live this way, do this, change this about you, and go on our way. And everybody's going to be like, you know, man, did you not comb your hair? Did you not brush your teeth? Did you not shower? Did you not change what the mirror was telling you to change? It's in James 1:23, it says, for anybody to be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass and doing nothing about it. So not only will real revival cause us to, I guess, shine and have heat and change, but it also will allow us to consider. Consider. Realize and consider means to quietly and calmly consider. I am shining as bright. Am I shining as bright as I should? Consider it. Am I as hot as I should be? Consider it. Is there anything that I need to change? Consider it. That's wanting real revival. That is a reflection. Secondly, when we have real revival, not only will we reflect on what the pastor and the preacher and the evangelist is saying, but we will repent. We will repent. This is how to have real revival. Just like looking in the glass or the mirror and doing nothing about what it's telling you to do. You know, you look in the mirror and you have clothes on that have never met each other, much less match. All right, the mirror is saying, no, don't do it. Don't go out of the house like that. Or your wife is telling you, what are you thinking? You know, don't wear that and that together. It doesn't match. Sure it does. No, go change. And every time I talk about that kind of thing, I remember my college roommate that was colorblind. We were mean. His mom hung his shirts and his pants and his ties on one hanger because they matched, and we would go move them all around. But anyway, don't try that at home. But anyway, it'll cause you to repent. So when reflection from preaching comes to our heart, it causes repentance. Luke 13:5 says this, I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Now, two things here. Obviously, repenting is, you know, I'm living my life, I'm not saved, I see my sins, and I say, okay, I want to repent and be saved, all right? If you don't do that, you will perish. You will die and go to hell. Same thing the Bible says, if, you know, he that knoweth doeth good and doeth not, to him it's sin. And then when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Now, God's the only one that can say when it's finished. He's merciful. But so just like if I say I'm not going to get saved, I will perish and die and go to hell. If I'm living in sin and I hear preaching and I reflect on it, but I don't repent, I could die as well. So repent is basically turning yourself. So I feel regret and I want to confess my sins. I want to turn from my sins. And then I've changed my mind. I've changed my direction. So remember, you're right with God. You're living revival. If you backslide a little bit, just turn right back around. Change your direction. Same thing. If you've gotten right and you're still way over here, don't go back. Turn this way and keep going. So we will repent. Number three, not only we will reflect, we will repent, and then here's the one, we will repair. We will repair. So you hear what he's preaching. You listen to what the mirror is saying. You say, yep, I need to fix that. I'm repentant. Then I do what I have to do to fix it. You repair it. Yes, we should have had another couple here this morning with us. But they were driving up from Florida. They were going to stop, spend a night at Hotel Stanley, and drive on up to Kansas Monday. And they're going to work with Aaron Harris up there in Kansas at his church. But they were about Atlanta yesterday in their budget truck, broke down. Maybe they should have went with U-Haul or, you know, Penske or something like that, but they went budget and they broke down on the side of the road. And so the bad thing was, though, they had a budget truck. All of it wouldn't fit in their truck, so they went and got a U-Haul trailer. And I hope the people that owns budget don't see this on live stream. But they got a U-Haul trailer, and they hooked it to the budget truck. That's a no-no. So when it broke down, his uncle had to come get the U-Haul trailer, take it to his house, and then he'd call budget and say, come fix his truck. But anyway, they should have been here, but they repaired it. The guy came and looked at it and said, hey, the coolant hose on the transmission blew off. Your transmission was getting hot. He repaired it. Boogity boogity. They're not coming here, but they're going to Kansas. When you see the problem, you fix it. And if you let a problem go without fixing it, it's just going to get worse. So again, I'm right with God. I'm experiencing revival. I backslid. Recognize it. Look in the reflection. Repent of that and repair it. And you can stay in a state of revival. So repent and then repair. Repair basically means to restore or to a sound or a good state that has been decayed. 2 Chronicles 24:4 says this, and it came to pass after this. In other words, they saw it. They saw that it needed to be fixed. And what did they do? And Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. He was a seven-year-old king, just started serving or being a king at 7 years old. He's like, look, we're in a mess. And I remember Granddad back in the day put God in his life and put God in the center of his kingdom and followed what God said. And let's get the church back involved. Let's get the Bible back involved. So he went down to the church and it was a mess. And so what was he minded to do? Fix it. So that's what it's talking about. When you're right with God, you take that one side up, recognize it. The reflection's there. Repent of it and fix it. Fix it. Repair it. And that's what he did. And then the next one we have, number four, is request. Request. So in other words, I got this. This is me. I can fix it myself. I'm Mr. Fix-It. I've done this and I've done that. I got it. Ask for some help. There have been times, I don't know if you've ever seen this, the little sitcom Tool Time. You had Al on there that was a very good Mr. Fix-It. Tim talked a good game, but he messed up everything he touched. All right. So there's been times at my house that something has messed up. My wife told me about it exactly. Oh, I can fix that. She was like, do we need to call Al? I was like, no, I can fix it. And I did fix it. And she said, oh, I can call you Al. But there have been times that I wasn't able to fix it. And she called me Tim. There was a time where our hot water heater went out. And I don't like cold showers. And so I was like, well, you know, hot water heater is just a big old can of water, two elements, two thermostats. I got this. But mine was in the attic. The dumbest thing in the world to have water above your head, okay? But anyway, it was in the attic because there's no basements in Florida. So I go up in the attic. I was like, I'm just going to take these two elements out, take these two thermostats out, put four new ones in there. I'll be Al this morning. I'm going to repair this thing. And so I got the two thermostats off pretty easy. I already turned off the power. I didn't want to let my light shine in the attic. But I turned the power off. And so then I go to get the elements out. And so I had went to Home Depot, bought the little element kit. You know, had the sockets that fit it and had the little pole you put in there. And, oh, this is going to be simple. And I bent the rod. Wouldn't come off. I said, okay. I went and got me some channel locks. I gripped on there and said, bow! Broke the channel locks in my hand. Went and got a pipe wrench. Got that pipe wrench on there, I went and got me a cheater bar about this long, about that big around. Slid it on the end of the pipe wrench. Bent my pipe wrench. It would not come out. She's like, how's it going, Al? I'm trying to repair this. All right. So anyway, I ended up taking the whole thing out and getting a new total one up there. I had a friend named Al come over and help me. His name was Mike. But anyway, we got it up there. Things like I never to this day got those elements out. I don't know if they welded them, whatever. They just would not come out. So I had to throw it away. But you repair it. It sometimes takes some work. It sometimes will be frustrating. But you need to repair if you want to have real revival. So you have to ask, or you request, ask God. So here's how do you stay in the revival state? Request forgiveness. I need it every day. I blow it. I mess up. But if I want to stay in revival mode, I need to request forgiveness. God, forgive me. Sharon, forgive me. All right. Then you request strength to resist Satan. And we've seen that in the Bible. The Bible says that, you know, this Christian right here had dotted every I, crossed every T of Christianity. In other words, they were in submission to God. But then they resisted Satan and he fleed. So there's a lot of people that are right with God as far as being in submission. I go to church, I read my Bible, I pray, I try to be a witness, I try to be what God wants me to do. But then they forget to resist Satan. Bam, and they got it. So we need to ask, request for forgiveness, and request for strength. Because as soon as you say, Satan's going to be like, yeah, and try to cheer you on to get you back over there. Or if you're here, backslidden, not right with God, oh, revival, I confess my sins, I'm going this way. Man, you got too far to go. He's going to come. So you're going to have to request strength to resist Satan. Request strength for growing. Request wisdom and discretion and understanding. Read the book of Proverbs. Amen. That's what it's about. Having wisdom, having discretion, having understanding. Request that. God give it. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. So request, God help me. And then ask for guidance and direction. This is what we do. We ask for that. So we have request. Then next, we had reflect. We have repent. We have repair. We have request. Number five, when you ask for that request, here's the next one, refresh. I was tired last night when I went to bed. When I woke up early this morning, I was refreshed. All right? I've been so tired when I woke up this in the morning, I'm like, oh, I'm not refreshed and I want to go back. But I can't sometimes. But we need to be refreshed. Number two, refresh means this, to give strength to reinvigorate. We have to refresh. Philemon verse 20 says this. Paul obviously is talking to Philemon, and he says in verse 20, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. So in other words, Paul had been there, and he was encouraging Philemon, and he says, if you will be right with God and you have revival, what that does, that brings me joy. When I have other friends that's pastoring, like I heard from Brother Foster this morning, he's starting a revival, things like that. Other men of God, I saw one that I had met years and years ago over at the conference in Lexington. He wrote me a letter this morning or yesterday. I got it in the mail. You know, said it was unbelievable. I didn't know you were still alive or existed. It was good to see you. Great to hear that you're serving the Lord. Great to hear that God's using you. Great to hear. That's what Paul was saying. Great to hear. And what did it say? Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. And it says here, refresh my bowels in the Lord. So in other words, when we do right, relatives that are saved, it gives them refreshment. Friends that are saved, it gives them refreshment. And so if we live in that revival state, it's going to cause us to be a refreshment to everybody. Then in return, it'll be refreshed to us. So last one, not only do we have reflection, repentance, repair, request, refresh. Here it is. Renew. Renew. We need to be renewed every day. There's some things in life that you should renew. You shouldn't just throw it away. Obviously, shoes is not one of those things. I played golf at the men's golf tournament this summer. By the time I finished that round, both of my shoes were doing the alligator. All right. I guess they'd been in the garage long enough to dry rot. They were alligatoring. I'm like, flop, 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 flop. And I can't renew those. I threw them away. I played the other day with Brother Harris, Brother Sellers, and I had my older pair on. And so I went to take them off this way. The backs, woof. So I had to throw those away. All right. And now those, I put some Gorilla Glue. And put a piece of metal in there, and I'm hoping that I'll renew them enough so I can play with those next time. But there are some things in life you don't just throw away. You can't renew your salvation and get saved again, but you can refresh it. Okay? You can think about it. You can have the joy of my salvation restored. You don't just throw your mate away. Done with that one. I'm going to get me another one. Throw that 40-year-old and get me 220s. That'll work good, right? No, you don't do that. But I have heard of renewing our vows and going on a trip together, celebrate our anniversary and renewing our relationship. So, same thing with Christianity. You can't just throw it away and, I'll throw God away and get me, Buddha. Or I'll throw God away and get me Muhammad. No, you can't do that. I mean, I guess you could, but it's not smart to. So there are some things that we can't get rid of, but we do need it renewed. The Bible says in Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me." Immediately, when our spirit is getting, maybe tired or maybe some worldliness has come in there, immediately get rid of it, repent, refresh, renew, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew. It'll help you stay in that revival state. All of us have heard this one, Isaiah 40, verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." We don't need new strength. We don't need a new God. We just need to renew the strength. And again, a lot of verses like here, "Well, I just need to go sit down and do nothing." That's not what this wait is talking about. This wait is like waiting on, like a waiter at a restaurant, a wait person, they call them today. All right, wait staff. In other words, they're actually serving. They're actually doing something. That's how they're going to renew. So when we, yesterday when I was out in visitation, I felt awesome. This is awesome. Talking about the Lord, inviting people to church. Renewed my spirit. That's how you do it, by serving God. Romans 12:2 says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Stay in that revival state by renewing your mind every day. Remember what you confessed. Remember the request that you've made. Remember, remember, remember. It'll help you renew. 2 Corinthians 4:16, "For the which cause we faint not, through our outward man, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." So day by day, am I right with God, or am I closer to God today than I was yesterday? If not, repent, reflect, renew, all that stuff, get right back. Titus 3:5, renewing of the Holy Ghost. He's powerful enough to save us. He's powerful enough to renew us every day. Lamentations 5:21 says this, "Turn," what we've been talking about, "turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned, renew our days as of old." So that's what we have to do to stay revived. And that is the introduction. So I'm just going to give you these 3 points, because we're running out of time. So real revival, Acts 8, 5-8, we read it. Philip went and preached. The people listened. They reflected and they got revived. And there was joy in that church. That's exactly what took place here. There's a vast difference between revival and evangelism. One is an awakening of the people of God that are getting saved. The other is harvesting of souls of the unsaved. And so revival can be both. Evangelism is a production of real revival. Because when somebody's on fire, what's different about you? Somebody's shining, what's different about you? It produces souls, so real revival. So the preacher did his part. God did his part. Now let us do our part to stay in real revival. And we got 3 points. Number one, real revival brings a real sense of sin. Real revival brings a real sense of sin. When I'm right with God and I'm experiencing revival, sin sticks out like a sore thumb. It's obvious as the day is long. If I'm not, I'm not bothered by it. That's what the devil wants us to do. The first time we heard about abortion, people freaked. Now, a lot of people have come to accept it, or even for it. That's what the devil did. When we heard about transgender stuff, freaked us out. But now it's just crammed down our throat with commercials and sitcoms and things like that. A lot of people have come to just accept it. That's what the devil does. But when you're in revival, it shows sin. It's like magnified. Stay away from that. Run from that. Change that. Get away from that. So the day when sin is presented as attraction, billboards make sin look attraction. TV commercials make sin look attractive. Internet makes sin look attractive. Hollywood makes sin look attractive. This world's mindset, what does it do? It makes sin look attractive. But when I'm in a revival state, it makes it look. That's wrong. That's, get away from it. Stay away. So today, wickedness and sin is passed off like normal behavior. Today, a life of sin is not just tolerated, it's accepted. Today, when we use a, what used to be frowned upon is welcomed by our society. It says here an illustration about that. A rattlesnake that once was killed with a hoe is now allowed to come in and curl up on the living room rug. That's exactly what the devil wants. But when you're in revival state, it's a rattlesnake. I'm the kind of person, I kill any snake. Oh, it's a black snake. It keeps the poisons away. Well, there'll just be another black snake because that one's dying. All right. I just kill every one of them because a snake scares me to death. And I'm getting the hoe. I'm getting the shovel. I'm getting the shotgun. I've killed them with wiffle ball bats. I've killed them with golf clubs. I'm no respecter of snake or no respecter of weapon. I'm killing the snake. And that's what we ought to do with sin. That'll help us stay in a real revival sense. A little bit of sin, kill it. A little bit of sin, I don't know if that's acceptable. Kill it. Just get rid of it. That's what real revival will do. That's a sin. Stay away. Old timers tell us that they used to gamble, drink, smoke, go to the dance halls, and they were wicked. Now, if we say we don't do those things, we're basically a society or a misfit of society. You don't? What's wrong with you? What happened to you? You better than everybody else? But real revival puts that sin. So we must face the facts of sin's presence. We can't hold up our head, or we can't stick our head in the sand like an ostrich. We've got to see the real sin. Real revival will help you see the state of sin. We can hide it from the preacher, hide it from Christian brothers, but God sees all of our sin. So the fact that sin is clearly seen in our world today, TV is more popular than church. Our kids know more names about movie stars and ball players than they do Bible characters. Profanity is more common than witnessing. People sling God's name around in vulgarity and profanity and are embarrassed if it's mentioned in a reverent way. Cocktail parties are more attractive than prayer meetings. Tobacco is a stronger habit than Christian kindness. Magazines are read more than the Bible. Feasting has become more important than fasting. To submit all up living for self is to be, I guess, submitted more than living for God. So when we have real revival, sin will be sticking out. It'll be very prevalent. Number two, we must face the finality of sin. We talked about that already. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. The social drinker has no intention ending up as a drunk in the gutter. Young people playing with lust seem too excited until maybe they become a prostitute or they're having a child out of wedlock. No younger person stealing cookies or change from their mom's purse intended ending up in the penitentiary. When the preacher preached on the family altar, it seemed like such a small matter until the family was separated. 15 minutes of pleasure is in a lifetime of misery and regret. Galatians 6:7. You reap what you sow. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right in a man, but in the end thereof his ways is death. So according to the Bible, sin ought to be, that's sin, stay away. That's a snake, stay away. Run, kill it, get rid of it. So real revival makes sin stick out. So, you know, some people, they might accuse me, dude, just chillax. You know, this is the real world, man. Calm down. Everybody's not going to live like that. But according to the Bible, if I'm in a revival state, sin should stick out like a sore thumb. It should be all these things. So number three, we must see the freedom from this power of sin. I obviously just read a whole lot of problems with sin and what it leads to. But living in revival gets me away from that. John 8:36 says this, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So, on fire, being a light, being a mirror, saying, hey, all that I just talked about that sin will cause in your life, living for Christ is the best life. If the Son can save you, He can set you free from that stuff. Just like He saved you and kept you from going to hell, He can deliver you from drinking, smoking, cussing, anything that we just read that the devil says, live it up. Revival state says, hey, you can be there. So real revival, it brings or puts a sense on sin. Number two, it will put God in His rightful place. It will put God in His rightful place. I remember having to choose that as a teenager. Sad to say that in front of my sports buddies, I would use God's name in vain just to fit in. But when I got saved or right with God and I was living in that state of revival, I didn't use that word anymore except to witness to them, to invite them to church. And they, every one of them said, what happened to you? You used to be the coolest one. You used to hang out with us. You used to be the funnest one to hang with. What happened to you? I put God in His right place. He wasn't a cuss word anymore. He was who I lived for. A lot of them got saved, and some of them came to church. A lot of them, though, turned their back and said, we're not friends anymore. They just have to be there. Because real revival puts God in His rightful place. Real quickly, as my Savior, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto me, but unto the Father, but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other. It says, under name under heaven given where among men whereby you must be saved. I put God in His rightful place as my Savior. Secondly, I put God from the rightful place as my God. Exodus 20:3 says, thou shalt have no other God before me. In other words, if that sport was put in front of God, I was making that sport my God. That's what that verse is talking about. In other words, I was scared to go play baseball on Sunday. I didn't want God to blow my knee out. I didn't want a fastball to catch me right in the chin. I put God in His rightful place. Baseball just had to go away. And I put God in His rightful place. So when you're experiencing real revival, you'll see sin as it is, wicked. You'll put God in His rightful place as our security. 2 Timothy 1:12, For I know whom I believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Put God in His rightful place. And number three, lastly, real revival not only will cause sin to, the sense of sin to be real in our life, we'll put God in His rightful place. And then number three, we will accomplish the work of an evangelist. We will accomplish the work of an evangelist. And if you read in I believe it's in Timothy, we're all supposed to do the work of an evangelist. We may not all be an evangelist, especially you ladies. All right, we may not all be an evangelist, but we're supposed to do the work of evangelists. So when I'm in a revival sense, I will see sin. That's sin. That's sin. I'm getting away from it. I'll put God in His rightful place, but then I will do the work of evangelists. First thing underneath that says here, it must be done in the Spirit. We can't fix it. We look at this world and say, oh, I'm going to fix it. And a lot of people, they try different little avenues and things like that, and that's fine. But we're supposed to do it in the work of an evangelist. It's got to be done in the Spirit. Zechariah 4:6 says this, not by might, nor by power. We can't fix this world in our own might. We can't fix this world in grouping together and having power. And that's why you got little social clubs everywhere. That's what they're trying to do. Again, and their mentality and their efforts are good. But we're supposed to do it the way God says do it. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So we've got to get God involved. So soul winning is a spiritual thing. B, it must be through the Scriptures. So not only should it be through the Spirit, it's got to be through the Scriptures. Try to fix it with the Word of God. See, the last thing, it must be accomplished by His servants. By His servants. So, real revival, it will cause sin to stick out like a sore thumb. It will cause God to be in His rightful place. And it will cause us to do the work of evangelists. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening. Let's all stand. First of all, if there's somebody here today you do not know 100% sure you're going to heaven, please see me. You can come forward. You can see me after the service, and we can show you from the Word of God how you can be 100% sure you're going to heaven. If there was something during the revival that the Lord spoke to you about, and you need to come pray, you can come pray. If the Holy Spirit spoke to you something this morning about all those R's, repent, refresh, come do that. So the altar is open.